God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his "What kind of greeting might this be?" But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Fear not, Mary, fear not. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Even right now, Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she is found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Fear not to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Ghost. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that would take place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes, and she placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping a watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around him, and they were terrified with fear. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Fear not. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into the heaven, The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see what these things have happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is this one who has been born from the King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, as well as all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them, Where is this Messiah to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for this child, and as soon as you find him, report back to me, so that I too may go to worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw a child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up! Arise!" the angel said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where they stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Matthew 2, verses 1 through 15. Every year I look forward to the reading of the Christmas story. Each year I see those who believe it, and yet I see even a growing hostility towards the story. But the hope that we receive from the Nativity is timeless. And what is the Nativity? Many will ask, did it really happen? I would say to you that the Nativity is really a metonymy, which is a type of metaphor, where the whole pieces are greater than the whole is greater than the pieces put together. For instance, sometimes we'll say the White House gave a report. But who is the White House? Is it the Chief of Staff? Is it the President? Is it their spokesperson? The word White House is a metonymy for all the different parts coming together. And so it is when we say the Nativity. It's a metonymy for all the different parts that tell the story of the birth of Christ. But because the Nativity is so important, we ask questions, as well we should. First of all, was there three wise men? And what are wise men? Well, there's probably more than three. In fact, there's probably a whole entourage, numerous camels and horses and mules and donkeys coming with them. They would not simply travel with a small group. And how many actually wise men there were, we don't know. And what were wise men? They were sages. They were mystical scholars. We might even call them wizards. From the east, from the Orient, maybe from Babylon. We don't know how far east. And how did they know of this? The most likely assumption is that they probably come from a group of wizards, magis, mystical scholars who knew about the Jewish traditions quite possibly from the exiles of the Jews in Babylon, and maybe learn from Daniel himself what the expectations were. And so when these descendants heard and saw the star, they knew what it meant based on the teachings they had received. This is only an assumption, but it would make sense with the history we are given. And where was Jesus born? In a barn? In a cave? In a stone manger? We really don't know. In fact, many times when I grew up, we would hear in the King James where it said there was no room in the inn. But really, in a small town like Bethlehem, I doubt the Holiday Inn or Hotel 6 existed. It wasn't the custom. What you do as a traveler, you would go into a town and the people would put you up. Maybe there was an inn, but most likely not. And so what it was a guest room. And imagine that all these relatives are coming back and the guest rooms filled up quite quickly. When I was in Israel, we were visiting a reconstruction of what Israeli villages would have looked like at that time. And there'd be the main room for the husband and wife, maybe a room or two, or one for all the children, and then maybe a guest room or a room you can move kids out and put them all together. And if those guest rooms are all filled, where would Mary and Joseph go? Well, one of the things I saw was that when you walked into the house, what would be like a porch to us was really kind of a mini stable for some of the younger animals and smaller animals that would stay in the house. And they were right next to the kitchen. No, it would pass no food code inspection today. But to have a little stable next to the entryway would have been normal. And since the guest rooms are filled, they would have slept with the animals, and they would have cleared a manger and put the baby Jesus there. So most likely there were animals, even though they're not mentioned. But what's a nativity without seeing the animals? And we wonder where they come from. And that's why they would probably be there. And then who was there at the time of the birth? Because what we see in our nativity is everyone arrives at once. And really, we don't know. Some speculate the wise men came some 2 years later because it says they came to a house. But they could still have come to the house where Jesus was because he wasn't in a separate barn. He was in probably the main house. And it says a child, and a child could be anywhere from 0 to 2. So we really have no idea of when the wise men showed up. Did they see the shepherds? Did they come in shifts? We don't know, and we never will. But we see the story come together in a nativity that puts all the parts together so that we can see it in all its glory. And then what about that strange and bizarre star? I have absolutely no answer. It couldn't have been a comet. It couldn't have been a meteor. And you say, well, those aren't stars. But their word for star was very ambiguous. Anything shining in the sky was a star. In fact, when we see a falling meteor, we call it a falling star. My best guess is it was most likely an angel. But I have no answer. Either way, like the whole setup, like the whole nativity scene, it was a miracle at the hand of God. And all of this, and some of the speculation, is important, but it should never take away from the full picture of everything coming together, whether it was all at once or in stages, that the hope that we are given in that first advent, when Christ became fully man, the Missio Dei, the mission of God, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, say to themselves, we will send the Son in flesh, a mystery that we cannot comprehend and will never to be able to fully understand. Yet the reality of Christ's birth, the sentence of God, echoes back to the Old Testament. In Isaiah 9, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Lord, be our Prince of Peace. We are in deep need of peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and with righteousness. From that time on, and forever. The zeal of the Lord God Almighty will accomplish all this. And then from Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be rule over Israel, whose origins are from old, from the ancients of time. Because although Christ was born as a child, as the Son of the Trinity, he has always existed. And so we have birth of Christ. We have the Nativity and all its parts coming together. And as we look back in Advent, the return, the coming, the expectation, we look back to the child born in a manger. Yet, we look to a second coming that resonates and reverberates forward to his return. And to all those who have placed their hope in Christ and what he can and what he will accomplish, as all the governments will be on his shoulders. We have hope in Emmanuel, God with us, Christ is with us, for today and as we look forward to his return. We are in a world which is commonly and probably the norm that is in deep need of the hope, the peace, the joy, and the power of Christ's love to come upon us. We truly need his peace. And we look forward to the new heaven and earth that Christ will bring as we read in the final book, the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, when he will return. So yes, I can say we have probably finished a difficult year. A year that followed what may, I would say, is a spate of several difficult and strange years. From a COVID, economic hardships, inflations, and wars that this year seem to smolder and maybe give us greater concern for what they might truly break out to be. We don't know what the next year may bring. Is there relief in sight, or only economic turmoil and hardships ahead? So the question is, what is next? But the real important question is, regardless of what is next, where is our hope? Because I would say to you, with all honesty, the consensus seems that the next year, 2024, will probably carry over much, if not more, of 2023 than we would care to carry over. I don't know. I don't claim to be a prophet and can tell you what may happen. But regardless of what the seers may say, the economic forecasters may say, and you'll hear all kinds of predictions in the next week or two, the true question is, where will we place our hope? Where does our peace and joy come from? Let it come from Jesus Christ. As we remember his first advent, born in a manger, and we look to his imminent return. When we read Scripture, we read how God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Missio Dei, the mission of God, send Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This birth rings true tonight and the hope it brings, and yet we await the second advent. As we read in the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we need these Christ to come to our world today. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I, Jesus, will return soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. From the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look to the Nativity, we see what you've done for us. We are called to remember remember your birth. On this Christmas Eve service, we remember. In our own minds, picture the Nativity and all those pieces coming together. But as we remember, Lord, we also look forward to your holy return. And we pray for this in your holy name. Amen and amen.